Welcome, everybody, to episode 5 of MusicCast, the music podcast where we don't really talk about music, but why these songs are so amazing, they made an imprint in our life, and all that crap. For my 5th episode, I have a friend of mine, which I actually met online thanks to a podcast, a Sonic podcast that we're both together, and it's Mr. Houston Pullen, right? Did I mention correctly?
You did. Hello.
How are you?
Dandy, like a dandelion on a spring day. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to say right before we start everything, why do we have to be such an asshole to each other? Why do we establish this in our relationship?
Why do we have to be such assholes to each other?
Pretty much me to you.
I don't know. I just always thought it was because you didn't like my haircut.
I don't, but that...
Wow. Okay. Well... I don't like the type of glasses that you have. My glasses are better.
Sure. Where do you get them from?
I got them from Target.
I got it from America's Best, you see, because still want my documents in this country. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Please get me the citizenship. Anyway.
I hope.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It will. So we already established that I'm an asshole to you and sometimes to me.
Sometimes, okay.
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
And let's remember to our listeners to follow us on social media. We have Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm trying to open one in High Five, but apparently they transform me into some kind of weird Tinder. So that's still in the works. You can listen to us in Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Audio Boom, and so many more. If you can find us, I don't know. Just make a comment in one of the social medias and follow our Spotify playlist, MusicCast. Well, all the songs in this episode are going to be there and you can understand why these songs are so great. Yeah. So yeah, let's jump right into it. You can stop me, interrupt me at any time, like you do all the time in our other podcast.
Well, you know, it takes someone who can do it to know someone who can do it.
Mm? Right.
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Question. You once told me that you are a person with many degrees.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
You have one related to music.
I do. I have a master of music and conducting.
Music and conducting. What did you learn from it?
Like wind band conducting, like orchestras and whatnot.
Right. That's why, because mm-hmm. that's how you know Dudamel, the Venezuelan conductor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Gustavo Dudamel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gustavo, you see, you have a thing with Gustavos.
Oh, let's not even get started on that topic. Let's just not even Gustavo, Peter, Pedro, whoever you are tonight.
No. Today's Peter.
Peter. Yeah. Peter. We're going to keep it Peter tonight. All right. So I have a master of music in conducting. Long story behind that. When I was first coming out of high school, mm-hmm. I was going to be a high school band director. That was my... thing.
You really like Whiplash or the movie? Or
I don't know what I was thinking, but I was thinking something. Yeah, I was out of my mind. But what wound up happening was I did a year of music ed and I was like, I want to do music. And I was so conflicted. There was a lot going on in my life at the time. And I was trying to figure out who I really was and what I wanted to do.
Right. A question. Sorry to interrupt you. This is where? In Las Vegas?
Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, that's in Las Vegas. And I wound up not doing it and mm-hmm. went a different route and got my bachelor's in public administration. But I always missed music. And I love music. And I thought to myself, what do I really want? I love conducting. Like getting on a podium, being in front of an orchestra and like helping actually create music through the coordination of conducting and whatnot. It's something
and
that
your freaking big ego.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
Well, I mean, there is that, but you know, so I really enjoy it. And there's such a rush in doing it. Like there's a rush when you're on stage and mm-hmm. you're actually listening to something that is happening based on your communication with the person who's doing it. Like, it's so cool. So I really, really enjoy it. And what wound up happening was I wound up getting enrolled into a master music and conducting program. That was quite the experience. Save that story for another time. But I wound up going through it and I got the degree. And I was happy I did. And, you know, I've been able to leverage it in some of the teaching that I've been able to do in the music business world, graduate music business courses I teach and whatnot. So music has played such a huge part of my life in so many ways. And, you know, all variety. There's a huge palette of music that I've been able to leverage for different situations throughout my entire life. So right.
I'm glad that you shared that story, that I got a little bit more background about it, which, because I know you had that musical degree, was kind of difficult to choose a song to show you. Mm-hmm. Because I know that you really appreciate music enough to get a degree about it. Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was undecided whether to go, because you're from Las Vegas, to get something really common like The Killers or Imagine Dragons.
I actually know Brandon Flowers.
What?
I've met Brandon Flowers. I know him.
That is amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's an awesome guy.
And you're going to get me an interview at some point when this grows.
I haven't talked to him in a very long time.
I don't care. I mean, let's just have a couple of published episodes and he says, oh, okay, it really exists, yeah. That podcast from that crazy guy from Miami.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. I'll get right on that.
I know he needs the publicity of my podcast.
Of course. Yeah.
But I decided to not be so tacky about it and go with a Las Vegas, because you're from Las Vegas, there are two groups from Las Vegas and whatever. I'm going on a different route.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Do you know Spanish?
Sí, señor.
A lot or a little?
Muy poquito.
Excelente. Either way, there's no lyrics in this song. I just wanted to know that. But it's from a Spanish-speaking group, Cultura Profética is the band.
Okay.
And if I pronounce it a little bit more American, Cultura Profética. And the song...
You can keep it the way it is.
Yeah, Cultura Profética. And the song is Mr. Swing y el Tres Pasitos Jazz Ensemble, which pretty much goes to Mr. Swing and the Three Little Steps Jazz Ensemble.
Wow.
It's an instrumental song. This is from, I already said it, from Cultura Profética. It was released in 2001. For their second album, Ideas Nuevas, which would be New Ideas. Interesting fact about this album itself, it was recorded in 33 days, which I think is pretty fast and amazing to get all that. It was recorded at the Marley Music Studios, so at Bob Marley's house in Jamaica.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah, it was cool for them. They were a pretty young band at the moment. I was introduced to this band because my wife, at the point, we were just, I don't know, boyfriend, girlfriend, yeah. And that's her favorite band. So when she told me, oh, this is my favorite band or whatever, I listened to the whole discography. And I said, yeah, that song, that instrumental song, it gets me in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because I'm in love with instrumental music, whether it's Carlos Santana or Earth, Wind & Fire, big orchestra, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be the lyric in there.
Right.
But I think what it really amazed me is the recording process.
Yeah.
Like, it gotta be such a magical moment to be in there and the whole band is in this, I don't know, synergy about it or in sync, that everybody's just having fun of making amazing music. And yeah, that, for those who are not watching, and of course you're not watching because we're still not in YouTube, Houston is making some kind of weird conducting movements to outside of his webcam, and if you want to pause, you can go ahead and solve whatever is going on. And he just muted himself. He's having a conversation and I'm just trying to comment about it. I'll just pause and he's coming back anytime soon.
Sorry about that. I had to step out for a moment.
Yeah, no, it happens. It happens to everyone.
All right.
So yeah, the song is amazing. I believe they were having such a good time. Probably they were in a break of recording the whole album and this just came to be.
Yeah.
That's what the feeling that it gets. It's, I don't know. You know more about it. Do you know that magical moment when the whole band or the whole orchestra is just playing and they get random inspiration? Oh. Tell me a little bit more.
You mean like an improv session?
Yeah.
Improv.
Pretty much instrumental songs are always improv songs.
Well, let me say this. So if you're no matter what piece of music you have in front of you, stylistically, the point of music is interpretation.
Right.
It is.
That's this podcast is all about.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have listened to several pieces, and if somebody tries to make it sound like someone else, no. Put your own emotion, your own feeling, your own style into it, because the second that you start putting, you know, trying to be like someone else, you take away your uniqueness and what you are bringing to it. So there are moments in anything, whether it be improv, whether it be just interpretation of music, where it's just awesome when you hit that moment. And I'll give you an example. When there is a piece of music that I love beyond anything, and it's such an emotional piece of music, and it's
Baby Shark.
You are such a dumbass. No, it's called Tears by David Maslanka.
Okay.
I played Tears back in high school band, and it's about 14 and a half minutes. And when I played it back in high school, I mean, so much emotion behind it, but the story behind it is even more compelling, but I'll save that for another time. But this particular piece of music meant so much to me. When I went to go get my doctorate, or my master's in music,
I have a doctorate as well.
Actually wanted to conduct this piece, and I went to my professor and I said, hey, this is what I'd like to conduct with the wind ensemble. And he goes like, oh, he's going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, no, he goes, okay, all right. Cause you have to rent the parts. You can't just buy it. You have to rent it.
Oh, okay.
So I actually got to speak with David Maslanka in the process of preparing to conduct it. You know, he has since passed, but you know, I got a chance to really like talk to him and tell him like my thoughts and what I was interpreting in my mind. And he was just like, that is awesome. I haven't had anybody who's interpreted it that way. It's going to be really cool to see what you do. This piece of music is so hard to conduct because you have so many things that are happening on offbeats. And it's just, we had a few rehearsals.
Holy shit, music is getting technical, guys.
Yeah, so we had a few rehearsals and we couldn't play it all the way through.
It's 14 minutes, so yeah.
14 minutes, but we couldn't play it all the way through because we kept having to stop because of issues, right? Okay. Well, and my professor was like, "All right, you're going to go out there, you're going to do it." He's like, "It's going to be what it's going to be." And I'm like, yep. That's right. It's going to be what it's going to be. And I was nervous because if you butcher this piece, it's like, and I didn't want to butcher it. This piece meant
right.
so much to me. So I went out on the stage, you know, tuxedo and everything. Right. And I was so scared. I was petrified. And I go out there.
Where is this?
In California, in Glendora, California, okay. Right outside LA. I go in and I get on the stage. I'm on the podium and I'm like, here we go. And the hands go up and we begin. And I don't know how to describe it. I don't know how to explain it, but we went through the entire piece.
Wow.
And it sounded amazing. Like I remember when it ended, and it ends the way it starts.
Oh, okay.
It's such a unique piece. And I remember it ended and it's very quiet. It starts very quiet. It ends very quiet. And I remember looking over afterwards, mm-hmm. you know, I turned around and did the bow and whatnot. And when I was coming off the stage, this was the face I got from my professor and from the other graduate conducting associate. And they were just like, and I was like, he's like, that was impressive. And I was like,
so would you say that is because you have no safety net now?
I think when you have the, as a musician, mm-hmm. when you have the opportunity to fly, you go. And
a lot of people say that in Miami too. Oh. When you have the opportunity to fly.
Oh, fly. Just stop. But no, seriously. So, you know, there was no safety net. I had a bunch of people behind me who were watching. I mean, it was a moment of pressure. And I think that's one other thing is there are some people who cripple under pressure and there are some people who don't.
Right.
But when you are really in sync with the other musicians that you are with, that's
a magical moment.
It's that magical moment. It's kind of like what you were just talking about, right? It's that moment that you capture it and you just, if you become it, it becomes you. I don't know how really best to explain it aside from that.
It's, and I think, just, it explains really well that. Yeah.
Right.
So it could be pretty much like in the, with the new movie, Pixar movie Soul.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's mm-hmm. that magical moment, whether you're playing the music, I mean, right. creating the music, conducting the music. It could be either if you're just programming or if right. you're just drawing or whatever you're doing. When you get right. to that point that everything is just amazing and creativity and skills just goes to the roof.
Oh, it's this apex moment where you're just... I mean, it gives you a high like nothing else ever could.
Have you tried crack cocaine?
I have never done drugs.
Oh, that's great. Nor will I. That's great.
But I would never have to, right? I have that, right? I have that. That is, to me, there are few things in life that can ever give you true like...
orgasmic peace. Feeling? Oh, peace. Okay. Yeah, sorry. I went to the other side.
Wow.
I mean, it's I mean, that exciting, I mean, moment.
Yeah, of course. But I will say the one thing about music is no matter what it is, if you can find a sense of peace in it and you can find emotion out of it, that's intoxicating. You're in the right place.
Okay.
It's intoxicating.
Great. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So after this amazing story, I think it's time that we listen to Mr. Swing y el Tres Pasitos Jazz Ensemble.
All right.
Everybody who's listening, grab a good pair of headphones and look for our song in Musica's Spotify playlist. We'll be right back. We're back.
I loved the end. Oh, that was so fun. What a fun piece. I liked it. Big band. It was good.
Yeah.
That was good. It had that big band vibe going on, and it had some cool little motifs in it that if you weren't listening, you wouldn't have caught it. So that was fun.
Yeah, I really liked that you liked it.
I did. I did like it.
That's great. That's great. So this song, I actually use it a lot of the times because I'm organizing stuff. Yeah, it would say that I'm working with paperwork at the office, or mm-hmm. if, you know, I have to like throw away everything in my desk and reorganize because I tend to be very, very chaotic in my desk.
Somehow that does not shock me.
Okay. So yeah, I put that song, or if I'm organizing laundry stuff, I don't know. It's like an organizing song for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, but
somehow it makes sense.
Why? Why would you say this?
Because you know, understanding how your brain works, it makes sense.
Holy crap.
There are certain chords mm-hmm. that totally seem like they would resonate with your brain in that piece.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Yes, you should.
Excellent.
You have found your place.
Yeah, I mean, songs can make you do anything.
They can. And certain pieces are appropriate for certain times and certain things and certain feelings. So, yeah.
Okay, and do you have a song that it doesn't necessarily is set up for that mood, but it gets you into that mood? Let me...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you my part. So I work in a car dealership, mm-hmm. salesman.
Yep.
And every once in a while, because we're a used car dealership, we have to process all the titles to send it to the DMV and, you know, all that. I hate doing title paperwork. It's like if a regular person hates the DMV, imagine that I have to go around 3 times a week, every freaking fucking week. I hate it.
Bless
anyway,
you.
Yeah. Because I hate it so much, I always leave it for later and later and later until I have to do like 10, 15 different titles at the same time. I decide to go to the most heavy metal music that I can get, and that's the one that gets me inspired to.
Yeah,
I don't know why people say like, how this is stressing you, this could get violent, this could be like and I don't know, it's like the music, like, okay, so I'm going to do titles, and I just get so happy with that music and start working those chaotic papers.
It helps get you through.
Yeah, because I love heavy metal, so yeah.
Yep, trust me, I completely understand. If I need a pick-me-up, there are certain pieces that will be my pick-me-up. If I need to come down, there are certain pieces that will help me come down. Like if I'm like amped up and going, and I need to like not be so amped up, there's certain music I'll put on. If I, you know, like at the gym, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's people will listen to different things. There are certain pieces where I know I'm going to run the entire time I listen to it. If I'm lifting, mm-hmm. I know exactly what it's not going to be the same thing that I'm going to listen to if I'm running.
Right.
So there's music that goes with everything.
Of course. Which makes me transition into the question, because you are a conductor and all that. What would you say is your genre?
Mine? Ooh. Yeah. So I used to be classical, 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 okay. Right? That has changed a lot because I appreciate all music. And I know people say that and they don't, you know, that's just a cop out. But for me,
you study it. So
I know I used to be like, oh, I can't listen to that. I only ever used to have classical on, and my friends, my family, they'd all be like, ugh, right?
Here comes Houston.
I'd have score music. I'd have, you know, Gustav Holst. I'd have Mahler. You know, I'd have those things. But then something happened and I started like, I really like this piece. I like this piece. Like there are so many pieces. When you invited me to come on to this podcast, it was very, very hard for me to sit down and think about which song, because from all these different genres, right? Because I can't just pick one. Like if I was given a genre, I'd go, oh, but then I'd have to get even more specific in the genre, but very broad scope, right? So I'm like, okay, I don't have a genre.
Okay, but okay, so let me rephrase that. Your top three. And don't go into like subgenres. Like
No.
Like, oh no, I really like postmodern rock from the Ethiopia. No, like.
Yeah, I know. Classical is going to be one.
Okay.
But that encompasses some stuff, right?
Right.
I would say probably it's hard.
I can see
it. It's hard. This is hard. Gosh.
I don't know.
Probably like, I want to say more modern. Rock. Modern rock.
Okay.
And electric.
Electric EDM?
Electronic music.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Although I guess that kind of ties to my classical. So kind of hard.
No, but I could get it. I get it. I can separate the classical from the EDM.
Yeah.
And in EDM, let's see, you're more into Skrillex or more into DJ Tiesto? Like what kind of EDM you go to?
I'd have to have you listen to some of that in order to get a sense, but it's kind of a mixture. It's not really one.
Okay.
I'm telling you, when I say there's a broad stroke, I am not exclusive.
And do you have a genre that is, I mean, I know you appreciate them all, but do you have one that you say, yeah, that's in the least favorite, or that's the one that I listen to less?
Yodeling.
Fuck. Okay.
I'm just going to pull that card.
Yeah, right. Yodeling. Cool.
Okay. You asked.
Yeah, no, I asked and I got an answer, which it was unexpected, but appreciated. So let me ask you, my friend, what did you brought me today? What song?
Well, all right, I got a story for you.
Ooh.
So my shirt.
Justice League.
So let me explain. Snyder Cut? The Snyder Cut, only cut. Right.
Okay.
So I am a massive, huge DC fan. Huge.
Right.
And I have been one, probably a very strong pusher of release the Snyder Cut for Justice League, because I totally appreciate everything that Zack Snyder was doing and what happened to him and his family with the tragic passing of his daughter. I mean, tragic, right? So let me back up a moment, right? So there is that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 1984.
Holy shit.
Leonard Cohen released a song called Hallelujah.
Okay.
And it's a really cool song. I don't know if you've ever heard it. It's a great song. Well, in 2005, mm-hmm. Alison Krauss did a cover of that song. And
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And when you watch the Justice League Snyder Cut, at the very end, when the credits are rolling, mm-hmm. that song, her cover, plays.
Okay.
And it is just beautiful. It is an absolutely beautiful song. And she does a phenomenal job with this song. And there's more to it than just the song itself. There's the meaning behind it. Because Alison Krauss sang that exact same cover at Zack Snyder's daughter's funeral.
Oh, shit.
It was his daughter. Her favorite song was Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
Right.
And when you understand that, when you listen to the piece,
yeah, and it gets more meaning.
There's so much more meaning. And especially because of how much meaning the Snyder Cut had to the fans, but also to Zack Snyder and his family.
Right.
All of a sudden, it packs an even bigger punch when you think about it that way.
Right.
So I'd like to share it with you so that way you can hear it. And for anybody who has not had it, you know, put your headphones in, go to Spotify, Apple Music, look up the Zack Snyder Justice League score by Tom Holkenberg, Junkie XL, Tom Holkenberg. Fantastic, fantastic composer. And it's the last track. It's great.
Wow. That makes like my whole story that, oh no, I got introduced to this band because my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, like, shit, man. Like you bring a bummer, but at the same time, it's uplift. Fuck, bro. I mean... Okay.
You asked me. So...
No. I'm happy that you brought it. I'm really happy that you brought it, but fuck, I wasn't expecting such a deep story about it.
Right? Well, there's a lot to digest here. Yeah. So, let's go ahead and take a listen, and then, you know, we can continue our conversation.
Sure. Everybody who's listening, go ahead and grab a good set of headphones, and we'll be right back with
Hallelujah by Alison Krauss. Make sure you have tissues. Thank you.
And we'll be right back. Wow.
Right?
The chills. Like, dude. Mm. I mean, after you telling me the story before, it was like, wow. Almost brought a tear to my eye, I gotta say. The right one, not the last one.
I have to say, I love her take on this. Remember we talked about interpretation? And that's why covers are so awesome. But she recorded this in 2005. Okay. And it's just beautiful. It's so majestically beautiful in so many ways. And I had you listen to the original, right? Yeah. From 1984. And then kind of hear that and hear the difference. And you can hear there's a stark difference here. I mean, you have a piano and a singer. That you had electric, you had a chorus, you had everything going with the old one. But it's still I love that song.
Yeah, it's amazing because of the simplicity of it.
Yes.
I'm making it into contrast. We come from the first song, which had no lyrics, no voice.
Right.
And this second one is mainly the voice.
Right.
You have the background of the keyboard, which is amazing, of course, beautifully played. But the voice is just...
Oh, that's a baby grand piano. I mean, that is a piano like... I don't think you could get a keyboard that could ever even sound like that. I mean, it's just...
You know what I mean?
No, I know. Well, no, but for anyone who would even think... You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was not made like in a piano in a restaurant, in a keyboard, yeah.
And I don't know if you could hear it on your side, but when she's singing, you can hear the echo from the piano.
Yeah.
And also when you hear her sing, her voice sounds like a string, right? When she
the vibratos,
and the sharp, spiral up. I mean, that is a gorgeous song.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, for a lot of folks, remember we were talking about how music has such a time and a place for people,
right?
And how it has such meaning for people. Well, you know, when I watch, and I'm just going to be candid, when I watched the Zack Snyder Justice League movie, it was a masterpiece of a movie, masterpiece. And then when the credits rolled and this played, I did cry. I actually cried.
Yeah, you thought that it was perfect, and then you heard that last song.
Oh, I mean, how beautiful, right? And but there's also this like
the full circle, I would say, because from outside, which I'm not really a big DC fan,
right,
and it would be a great way to give closure to his personal life and for all the fans to get what they probably deserve with the Snyder's Cut.
Yep.
Because let's be honest, DC Universe with the live action movies, they're a little behind if you compare it with the Marvel Universe, how they created. It doesn't mean that they can get there.
I'm
pretty sure they can get there, but it has to be done in the right way.
And I think
the Snyder Cut can tell us that it is possible.
And I mean, I think that there's a lot more, because what the Zack Snyder Justice League movie represents is not a movie. It's a work of art. And right. music and cinema are, I mean,
married.
They are. You, I mean, could you imagine watching your favorite movie without music?
No, of course not. Of course
it would
not.
It would be so
now
odd.
Now that you mentioned that, a movie without music.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Eraserhead?
I've heard of it.
I am disturbed by this movie. Which is, I think, a lot to say for what you know.
For
about
you?
Me.
Yeah. For you to be disturbed by something? Oh, golly gee.
Dude, I was scared. I was scared when I watched this movie. But it's not because it's scary itself, like mm-hmm. watching a Aliens movie or, you know, Predator or whatever, Saw. It's because I couldn't understand what the fuck was going on. Like, it was so fucking unpredictable. And it has some kind of a shocking images. It is from 1977.
Yeah.
And it is from, of course, David Lynch, the director.
Mm-hmm.
He decided that he was not going to put music because he said that real life doesn't have music. But he put some kind of background noise, like outside of a factory. So you get like that humming and clanking and fucking stress movie, dude. Disturbing as hell. I was screaming, like my family was like, what the fuck? I mean, it's not really that scary from 1977, you know? I don't know what's happening.
Here's the thing, right? To him,
mm-hmm.
that is his art, right?
Right.
But when I think of art, I also think of like Lord of the Rings, the movies, right?
Okay.
Art.
Yeah. And without the music.
Oh my gosh. I like one scene in particular when they're at Helm's Deep in the second movie, The Two Towers, at the end, and Gandalf shows up with the Riders of Rohan at the very top of the hill, and the sun is coming over, and they ride down to go and save Helm's Deep. I mean, oh. You, there are some moments where like cinema and you have film and you have music. And I mean, just like you said, the chills, right?
Yeah.
Chills. And that happened a lot in the Justice League, the Snyder Cut Justice League for me. And I know for others, right? Because it's like, ooh. And I just think that, you know, when we're talking about music and we're talking about the power that music brings, it has the ability to control you. It does. Just control your emotions, control your, you know,
your mindset.
Your mindset. Like, it's a thing. It really is a thing. So
imagine if you change that scene from, you change the music from Lord of the Rings, and instead of that music, you just get cumbia music.
Yeah.
You were like, what the hell is this? And no.
Well, no. I mean, if we ever have the chance to do a, classical, you know, just listening party of cinema, film, and music.
Oh, sure.
I would be happy to bring some stuff for that because
I'm more into video games when that comes.
Oh,
you know?
Well, don't worry, I've got that for you too.
So. I know. Do you like a video game in particular by any chance? Or
Mortal Kombat?
Oh, right.
Well, no, actually, there's several video games that I like. I really like the Batman Arkham series.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. This Arkham City score, that music's great. But there are several video games that I'm more of an RPG guy. But or I like my fighting games like Mortal Kombat and Injustice. But,
right.
But yeah.
For me, Castlevania.
Yes.
Lord of Shadows. Dude, soundtrack for that, the second one. Lord of Shadows 2.
Oh, Final Fantasy.
Which one?
Ooh. I'm a minority here. Mm-hmm. I like Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something controversial like I do in the other podcast.
Yeah, you're always controversial.
I'm from Miami, dude. I've told you that before.
But I will say that most of the music in Final Fantasy games is pretty good.
Yeah.
I do like them.
Yeah.
Oh, and Resident Evil.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to get the genre of video games that you like.
Oh, and Tomb Raider.
Okay. The last one I haven't played.
I'm a 90s. I come from the 90s era. I really like that style, those kinds of things, right?
Right. So. Yeah. Well, I'm from
Shit. Shadow of the Colossus. Epic game.
Oh, epic my soundtrack. God. No. You hit right in the spot, dude.
Epic soundtrack. Epic game. Yep. Yes. So.
Did you know that you could actually go to the top of the tower?
Yes. Yes, I know.
You did?
I've done it.
I mean, it's so useless once you get there, but
it's useless, but it's great.
Yeah, you're like, oh shit, yes, I'm here. I'm not supposed to be here.
You know what other video game has really good music?
Which one?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Wow, I never thought that you were going to mention that video game.
I would be remiss if I didn't.
That's true. That's true. Which brings me to our last part. Tell me about your life, Marvin. Well, not tell me. I know what is going on with your life. Tell me to whoever is listening to this episode. What's going on with you? What's your project?
Oh, you know, that's a loaded question. I'm kind of an interesting story. I've had a rough few years.
You like, know that I come from a third world country, right?
Yeah, I do. But keep in mind,
because you're saying that the rough, like.
No, well, here's the thing. No. In all seriousness.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing. I have been put through some shit in hell and back again that I can't even really begin to explain. I don't really know where to start. It's in all seriousness, it's been a really, really it's been a rough few years.
Okay.
And I've had to really make some life altering decisions as to how to proceed with things because of how challenging it's been. So I've basically had to go through kind of a reinvention, if you will. And actually there this reinvention that I've had to go through, the best way to describe it is Stravinsky. And the reason I say Stravinsky is because Igor Stravinsky wrote one of my favorite pieces of all time, the Firebird Suite, which is essentially about the Firebird, the Phoenix, right? Phoenix fly, it dies and then it comes back. And basically I just went through the middle part where the Phoenix died and now I'm coming back. But a lot of stuff that I thought I knew and that I believed in was just, it was nothing. And, you know, it's kind of like when you get your hopes dashed, I've had such grave disappointment and I've had some pretty serious issues that have happened that I'm, you know, having to crawl out of. So right now for me, what I'm working on is trying to really establish who am I?
Okay.
And who do I want to be known for? Because many people know me for many different things, right?
You are a man of a lot of trades.
I am. I've got people who know me from previous employers. They associate me with this organization or that organization, or they associate me with this or that. Like people see me and they see a, but I guess that's the same for everybody, right? But
yeah,
because of how dynamic, and when I say dynamic, I don't mean like in a, you know, oh, I'm a very dynamic individual, but there's a lot of complexity and there's a lot I have done, right?
Right.
I have students at different universities who've had me for different subjects. So they see me differently per those subjects. I've had coworkers that see me differently based on this, that, or the other. I've got friends who see me differently. I've got, you know, my podcast family that see me differently, you know, depending on the podcast. I've got my family, like, you know what I mean? So there are people there, but because of how much, like I have 5 jobs at the same time right now, plus 3 podcasts, plus my doctoral program. So, you know what
plus
I mean?
Plus
4 children and a wife, you know, who I've been married to for almost 12 years. Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you. So, you know,
you have a lot on your plate.
I do. And I will tell you that there were some scary moments the last few years, like, and you know, just things that really will shake you to your core. And you know what? One of my bosses put it to me this way. If there was, she said, if there was ever anybody who could be considered the comeback kid, it's you. And I was like, she's like, you are living proof that there is nothing anybody can go through that they can't come back from.
Holy shit. What? I mean, that's an amazing compliment that you get.
But it's also scary.
It's scary as fuck. And I don't have anything to answer.
You have no context.
No, I have no context. I have no crazy shit to tell about it.
Nope. But here's the thing about it, right? I think you and I've established enough of a rapport where you know I'm not going to bullshit you on this.
I'm going to bullshit you in a lot of stuff that I say, but
I know, but I'm not bullshitting you on this.
Go ahead.
So it's just interesting. And you know how when you're a kid, mm-hmm. right, you have these ideals, you have these things going on in your head as to what you're going to be when you grow up, how things are going to be, this, you plan and plan and plan and you have goals you try to achieve. Well, that's just it, right? Or you put your ideas and thoughts into something so much so, and then it finally happens and it's not what you thought it was going to be.
Right. So you're through that.
Let me give you a small example of that.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to give the big example of what just happened.
Right.
But I'll give you a small example of this. And that I've learned a very valuable lesson from all of it, right? Well, I've learned several, but in high school, mm-hmm. Back in middle school, I joined band because of a girl, right? I went into band because I wanted to sit next. I wanted to be near this girl that I really liked from elementary school.
Being a pussy.
Oh my gosh. If you want to put it that way.
Yeah, I want to put it that way.
I mean, okay. You put it however you want to put it, right? Well, anyway.
Interpretation. That's what we were talking about before.
Oh, you. Oh, I'm going to take it. Anyway, so I went into high school band and then I was going to leave. Mm-hmm. And then I decided not to. And then I was in marching band. I didn't know my left from my right foot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was very uncoordinated. So most kids are, you know, in marching band, they have the drum majors, the ones that conduct the marching band on the field. They get on the podiums and they conduct. I wanted that.
Okay.
I wanted to be that. And I made it my goal to get that.
Okay.
And I auditioned my sophomore year going to my junior year, mm-hmm. and I didn't get it. I auditioned my junior year going into my senior year, and I got it.
Oh.
And I regretted it.
Why?
Because it was nothing but torment. I mean, it just wasn't what I expected. It wasn't what I was thinking it would be.
Right.
And all of my expectations were kind of dashed. And it was painful, right? It's painful when you want something so badly and you work so hard to get it.
Yeah.
And then it disappoints you.
Right. Huh.
So imagine that story. And, you know, for a high school student, that's painful, right?
Right.
Real. But now I want you to take that and I want you to multiply it probably by 325.
Very, you with the specific numbers.
1,000.
Right. I'm sorry that you're going through that,
but
you're going to get through it, I hope.
Oh, no.
You're in the reviving part, right?
Right. So
okay.
2018, 2019 was the bottom, right?
Okay.
That's where everything, like all the shit went to hell. I mean, just
so
fuck,
you got mad,
right?
Decided to throw COVID in 2020.
Well, no, this is, so here's what happened. In 2019, I started, you know, I hit, and I saw so much of this country in 2019.
Okay.
And I kind of went on this, I guess you could say, journey of self-discovery in some ways. And I drove across a ton of this country.
Okay.
A ton. And I, you know, and then I started coming up swinging, right?
Right.
And then I got, you know, 2019, everything was going. 2020, while an absolute crazy year. And actually, for me, in some ways, a very needed year.
Oh, okay. Right? So you needed that kind of a struggle a little bit?
I needed that time to, like, be home.
Okay.
To, like, you know what I mean? Like,
reevaluate stuff. And
well, it gave me a moment of pause.
Well, that's good. You need it after the long journey.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It was like your analyzing moment because you cannot go anywhere.
Well, and you know, so it's interesting, right? So I came to the realization, I have to work for an organization that I believe in the mission of.
Okay.
And not only that, but I have to go into it realizing that whatever I do, I have to be ready to do it and do it right. And that's how I always want to do it, right?
Oh.
I always want to be ethical. I always want to make sure that I'm going in the right direction. And truth be told, a few years ago, before I went off and joined the government, I worked for a university and I loved what I did. I worked for a small business development center program and I loved it. And I got to work with entrepreneurs and small businesses and really like help them. And I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy the politics, but I enjoyed that.
Labor part.
Right. I enjoyed it. And last year, as everything was going on the upswing and there were some things, you know, happening in DC, and I was like, I want to be in a job that I actually enjoy. And my wife said, well, what do you really like? And I said, she's like, what is something you've done that you really like? And I'm like, you know, I really loved being in an SBDC. And she said, then why don't you?
Right.
She said, why are you not? And I was like, well, valid question, right? Well, and then I did my resume. The first job I put in for, there were over 80 people who put in for the job.
Wow.
And I got it. I mean,
congratulations.
Thank you. So, you know, I started my new job in January of this year. I left the government and came out to Florida, and I love my job. Is it perfect? No job is.
If it were perfect, everybody would be doing that job.
No, absolutely. But is it worth? Do I feel a sense of worth there? Absolutely. And the team I work with is phenomenal. My boss is phenomenal. The environment's phenomenal. Again, there are always going to be quirks. There's always going to be intricacies with anything, right?
Nothing is perfect.
But what an environment to go to. So now I'm looking at everything from a new view, right? I look at where I was. I look at where I am now. And I look at where I'm going. And that is kind of what I have been on. It's kind of this upward swing from a, when I say horrific situation, that is putting it mildly.
All right.
And that is putting it so nice. It's just sick, right? So, yeah.
Hallelujah for you, my friend.
Hallelujah. So, and actually, it's funny you say that, because actually that song has actually become kind of a part of my whole
momentum
process.
Okay, process. Okay.
And it's actually become kind of a song of the times for me. Like, everything that I've been going through, now to finally be
on the other side,
it,
or at least in the upside right
exact
now.
Hallelujah,
my friend. Thank you so much for
thank
joining
you.
For anybody who's listening, do you have any other projects on the internet by any chance?
I do. So I am one of the co-hosts and, you know, leaders of the Hedgehog Zone podcast, which you hang out with us, so, you know, I'm sure that people have heard that
I'm
before.
There. Yeah, I'm there. My well, other personalities are there.
Your other personalities are there.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so there's the Hedgehog Zone podcast, and then there's the Poke Trainers, the Pokemon podcast that I'm also a part of, and I also do a College Solvers podcast where we talk about tips and tricks to help college students with saving money, with kind of making it through finals for all kinds of different topics. And then I'm also working on my doctoral program currently in business.
Congratulations on all that.
Thank you. I hope
the best. For all out there, go and look for Houston Poland in all his different podcasts and stalk him a little while on the internet. I know he'll love that. Yeah, remember to follow us on our social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever you are. Just grab a good set of headphones and listen to these songs that are amazing. And I'll listen to you in some other time. Goodbye.
Bye. Have a good one.